From the God of grace, peace from the Prince of Peace, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. The psalmist David has so beautifully written concerning this day. I believe with the eyes of faith he was able to behold this very day when he wrote, saying, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." I believe David was allowed to behold this very day when God's Son Jesus would be born into this world to save us from our sins. He recognized how glorious this day would be, because now we have a hope of everlasting life through the merits of God's Son Jesus. This is what this day is all about, dearly beloved. It's a glorious day when we carefully consider the gift that God has given to us, the gift of His Son, Jesus. This morning for our meditation, I'm going to read from the writings of the evangelist St. Matthew as recorded, beginning with the second chapter, verse 1. Another very, very familiar portion of God's Word. And as I mentioned even yesterday concerning the account in Luke concerning the birth of Jesus, sometimes I hesitate even speaking from these portions of God's Word, because we can sometimes speak from knowledge rather than revelation. And it seems that when we can speak from revelation, it warms, uplifts, comforts the heart and the soul of man. I'm not saying it's wrong to speak from knowledge as long as we speak that which is according to the word of the Lord. But do pray that God would, by His Spirit, break a few crumbs of the bread of life onto our hearts and souls as we meditate upon this portion of His holy word. Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, the words are read in the name of our Lord as follows. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least of the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Amen. This portion of God's word speaks to us how a star led certain men to this Bethlehem child, God's son, Jesus. And I think this is such a beautiful portion of God's word from that standpoint that it speaks to us so many, many precious truths. As we heard, this portion of God's word speaks to us about wise men. The Bible speaks about wise men in many places. The Bible speaks also about foolish men in many places. It's important for us to understand, first of all, why these men were considered to be wise. What kind of men were these when they were looked upon as wise men? History teaches us that these men were astronomers. Well, just because they were astronomers, does that mean that they should be considered as wise men? I don't believe so. But an astronomer is one that is always studying the heavens. He's not studying these earthly things. He's studying those heavenly things. And I like to think of these wise men as men that were seeking, spiritually speaking, even though they were astronomers studying the heavenly bodies, I do believe that this book, the Holy Bible, conveys to us a spiritual message. There is a spiritual message in this. And when the Bible speaks of these men as being wise, they were wise because they were studying heavenly things. I think of a person that is seeking salvation, constantly, diligently searching those things which are above, more so than those things that are upon the earth. That person is a wise, wise person. That person realizes and recognizes that there's more to life than what this world has to offer. And there is more to life than what this world has to offer. Oh, that this message would be conveyed into all of our hearts to such a degree that we would find ourselves as these wise men, spending more time concerning those heavenly things than these earthly things. Jesus himself once said with these words, "Ask and you shall find. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." This is a promise that the Lord has made unto his creation. Ask, seek, and knock. And the Lord is referring to these matters of salvation. I think it's so important that a person begins to ask, he begins to inquire concerning the matters of salvation. What must I do in order to be saved? And when he's told, he diligently follows those instructions. And when he comes to that point in life where he feels that he's come to the end of his road, he must knock, and it will be opened unto him. These wise men, one day when they were studying the heavens, all of a sudden, to their surprise, was a star up there in the heavens that they had never, ever seen before. And that star conveyed to them a message. And the message was this: a king has been born. And he is the king of the Jews. A king has been born. He's the king of the Jews. That star conveyed to them that kind of a message. I'm going to go back just briefly into this. These men being considered wise, it comes to my attention as I'm speaking of these things. Remember Jesus, he once spoke about the wise man and the foolish man. And Jesus spoke those things right after he had spoken his sermon in the mount. Jesus was up in the mountain and he spoke a very, very precious message to the people. Many, many things in that message to be carefully and diligently considered. And when Jesus was done speaking, he said with these words, "Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same shall enter into this kingdom." There's a lot of people, they have the Lord upon their lips, and they're busy, busy doing things. But the Lord tells us we are to be doers of His Word. There's a lot of people doing, but are they doers of God's Word? When we hear this Word, we must take this Word to heart and allow this Word to go to work in us. As I've tried to emphasize the importance of not only hearing God's Word, but preserving it within our hearts and allowing that Word to go to work and grant to us the revelation of Jesus. It will do that, dearly beloved. So then, Jesus went on to make known how the wise man, when he had heard these sayings, he kept these sayings, and he found himself building his house upon the rock. The foolish man also heard these things, but he didn't do as he had heard. He built his house upon the sand. And when the rains descended and the floods rose, you know what happened. The house that was built upon the rock stood firm. The house that was built upon the sand was destroyed. And believe me, beloved, that flood is present in our day. In the book of Revelation, let me just quickly read what the Word tells us. In the 12th chapter of Revelation, we're told, "And the serpent," this is the enemy of our soul, the devil, "the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman." Now the woman is the Christian church. In the Scriptures, the Christian church is likened unto a woman. And for this reason, through a woman, children are brought into this world. Through the Christian church, children are born unto God. So here we are told how out of the serpent's mouth came water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Now that flood is nothing other than the doctrines and the commandments of men that are being taught in our day. It's like a flood that has come upon the entire world. And it's to destroy the woman, the Holy Christian Church. That church, that individual, that person that has built his house upon that rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, when the rains descend and the floods rise and beat upon that house, that house is going to stand firm. Remember what we heard? Jesus said, "Upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That's how important it is, beloved, that we have built our house upon that rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. If it isn't upon that rock, we're not going to be able to withstand the flood of the last days. That's going to come out of the serpent's mouth. It's going to destroy. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And when the rains descended and the floods came, that house was overcome by that flood. The wise man is always seeking those things which are above. And they saw that star, and that star conveyed to them the message that a king has been born, and it is the King of the Jews. Now that star, it had such an impact upon these wise men. We have to believe this. It had such an impact upon those wise men that they left everything behind. Their friends, their relatives, their possessions, and they started to follow that star. That's what an impact that star had upon those wise men. You might say, oh, I wish God would allow me to see a star like that. Oh, if I could just see the light of that star, I know I would do the same thing as the wise men did. Have you ever taken time to look into the scriptures concerning what the scripture has to say about the star or stars? Listen carefully. And those of you that have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to the book of Revelation, the first chapter. John was put on the Isle of Patmos. And this was because of his testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was put there to suffer and die because of the testimony of Christ. All of the apostles were martyred because of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John was put on the Isle of Patmos, and he was shown a lot of things. In the last verse of the first chapter, we read these words: "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches." The seven stars which you saw in my right hand are the angels, the ministers of the seven churches in Asia. And the seven golden candlesticks that you saw me walking in the midst of, those are the seven churches in Asia. So then, now we begin to see a little bit better, dearly beloved, what those stars really are. They're the ministers of God, the very servants of God, the men that God has called and ordained to proclaim these precious truths. And isn't it so, beloved? When the Word of God has been preached by the power, the revelation and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it's like the glory of God has shone round about us. I'm sure you have been sitting in church, and it just seems that in the light of that word, you have seen what you really are in the sight of God. And you have found yourself as a beggar in need of God's grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Just like the Apostle Paul, when he saw that light from heaven shine round about him, that light drove him to his knees, and he found himself as a beggar crying out to the Lord, "What wilt thou have me to do?" It was this star, dearly beloved, that led the wise men to Bethlehem, to the very house where Jesus was. In other words, the office of the star, the office of every minister, every labor of the Lord's vineyard, is to lead lost souls to Jesus. That's the office of the star, to lead lost souls to Jesus. That's what this star did. But now, if you would just quickly turn with me to the 9th chapter of Revelation. And I'm going to spend just a little time here concerning these stars, because the Bible speaks so much about these stars. Remember in the Gospel according to St. Luke, when Luke records the words of our Lord when Jesus spoke about his second coming, he said there's going to be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. Luke doesn't tell us what those signs are going to be in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, but the evangelist Matthew does. Matthew tells us how that in the last days, just before Jesus comes, the sun is going to be darkened. The moon is not going to give its light. And the stars are going to fall from heaven. The stars are going to fall from heaven. What does that mean? In the 9th chapter of Revelation, beginning with verse 1, John tells us, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw," John saw this, "John saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth, and to him," that star is referred to as a man, as an individual, "and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit." A star fell from heaven onto the earth. That star is no longer a heavenly messenger. He's fallen from heaven onto the earth. He has become an earthly messenger. And what does he do? He opens the key, he opens the bottomless pit. And what's in that bottomless pit? In the 20th chapter of Revelation, we are told, again, if you want to turn there, in the third verse, well, we can read the first two verses also. John tells us, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up." The devil, our enemy, the serpent, has been cast into that bottomless pit. The star that fell from heaven opened that bottomless pit. And notice what comes out of that pit. In the 9th chapter, going back, we're told, "He opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit." When Matthew tells us the sun is going to be darkened, the moon is not going to give its light, and the stars are going to fall from heaven, these are frightening things, beloved. You know, the first and the greatest target of the enemy of our soul is the ministers of the Lord. The devil knows if he can cause one minister to stumble and fall, oh, but he's going to have such an easy time to get so many of the sheep with him. So he works hard. He works day and night on the ministers. Dearly beloved, let me ask you to remember your ministers in prayer. Those that God has called and ordained to proclaim this word, pray for them. Pray for them day and night so that they would stay in the word of the Lord, proclaiming this word, because that's what we've been asked to do. I can't lead anybody to Jesus, but I know if I preach this word by the power of God's Spirit, those that hear it and believe it are going to come to know Jesus. Just like Peter on the day of Pentecost. You remember he preached. He didn't preach. Jesus told his disciples not to go and preach. He already told them they should preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins. But he told them to tarry in and around Jerusalem until they are empowered from on high. Jesus was referring to the day of Pentecost when he would pour out his Spirit upon them. Don't go with your own strength. Don't go with your own wisdom and reasoning and understanding and preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins. But wait until you've been empowered from on high. And they waited. And when they received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, It was Peter that began to preach. And you remember how powerful that message was that Peter preached. When Peter finished preaching, those people that were there together began to cry out, "Men and brethren, what must we do to be saved?" In the light of that word, in the light of that star, Peter being that star, in the light of that star, those people recognized that they're not saved. What must we do to be saved? Peter told them to repent and to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. I don't believe Peter was talking about the holy sacrament of baptism. But you are to repent and be baptized, be united unto Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That's how a person is united or baptized unto Christ, through the forgiveness of their sins. And then Peter said, God will give to you as a gift the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide you as you journey through this wilderness of sin. This is the office of the star, beloved, to lead lost souls to Jesus. In the last day, in the last days, stars are going to fall from heaven. And those stars that fall from heaven, they're no longer heavenly creatures or messengers. They no longer are able to lead anybody to Christ. But they open that bottomless pit, and that smoke that comes from the bottomless pit is the doctrines of the devil. And the world has been clouded with the doctrines of the devil. The sun has been darkened. The Lord God is the sun. In him there is no darkness. But because of all this pollution that's come out of that bottomless pit, the sun has been darkened. And when the sun has been darkened, the moon, the Holy Christian Church, is not going to give its light. Naturally speaking, the moon has no light of its own. The moon gets all of its light from the sun. You and I that are God's precious redeemed children, we have no light of our own. Our light comes from the Lord as he shines upon us his mercy and grace, when he showers his love into our hearts. Now the light is reflected from us. But when the sun has been darkened, the moon is not going to give its light. This is the day and age we are living in. It's very frightening. It causes me to want to get on my knees and cry out to the Lord. Jesus, what would we do? But again, I'm going to go back. God wants us to be wise men. He wants us to be diligently seeking those things which are above. In fact, Paul in his letter to the Colossians tells us, you and I that are his children, if you be risen with Christ, and we have been resurrected with Jesus Christ into a newness of life, if you have been resurrected with Christ, seek those things which are above and not those things which are upon the earth. You and I are the richest of people that walk upon the face of this earth, because God has poured into our hearts his riches, his goodness, his mercy, and his grace. His love has been kindled to burn in our hearts. And what is love? What is life all about without these things? There's nothing to life if we don't have these ingredients abiding in us. And God wants us to use these riches to entertain strangers. As the scripture teaches us, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. We entertain them with the riches that God has given to us. And those riches are going to have such an impact upon those strangers that we entertain. They're going to see the light, and they're going to begin to follow after that light. It's an amazing thing, as our text points out to us. These wise men found themselves in Jerusalem. How did they ever get to Jerusalem? The star didn't lead them there. No, the star did not lead them to Jerusalem. They got lost along the way. How did they get to Jerusalem? Their own intellect. And that happens often, beloved. It happens often, even in our day. Sometimes a person is seeking those heavenly things. They're like in an awakened condition. They have seen the light of the star, and that star has conveyed to their heart a message that a king has been born. You should go and seek after that king. But the intellect of man enters in. These wise men, they knew that he was the king of the Jews. He was born king of the Jews. Well, if he's the king of the Jews, where do we go but to the chief city of the Jews, which is Jerusalem, of course. That's where he's born. Their reasoning told them that. But remember, beloved, God's word teaches us not to walk in the vanity of our own minds. Don't lean on to your own understanding. Solomon, to whom God had given wisdom beyond measure, said like this, There's a way that seems right unto man. There's a way that seems so right. The wise men, they were convinced in Jerusalem we're going to find him. And to their surprise, he wasn't there. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction or death. It's not the right way. Don't lean onto your own understanding. Don't walk in the vanity of your own mind. Walk in the leading of the light of God's word and his spirit. So when they got to Jerusalem, they went to none other than the king himself, King Herod, as we're told. I guess I'm in the wrong place here. I'm still in the book of Revelation. Getting back to our text. The Jews, or these wise men, said, "We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. The chief priests and the elders, the scribes, they were very familiar with the scriptures. They had read the scriptures. But notice, there was no need in their hearts to go and seek after this king that had been born, which was the king of the Jews. They had no interest even in going there. But they knew the scriptures, and they told Herod that, as we read in verse 5, they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." They knew the word of the Lord, but they didn't have any need to walk in obedience to that word. Herod, when he learned that, he came back to the wise men, and he talked to them privately, inquiring of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." And when the king, when they had heard the king, were told, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. This tells me that definitely those wise men got lost along the way. They took their eyes off of that star that they saw in the far east. Now they saw that star again, and were they ever happy? They recognized that star. And this time they did not take their eyes off of that star. They followed in the light of that star. God's word is light. As King David has written, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my pathway. The word of God is light. In it there is no darkness. That light, if we follow it, it's going to lead us to where Jesus is. But isn't it interesting here? These wise men, when they were told that the prophets of old have written that in Bethlehem of Judea is where he is to be born, and they were brought to this word by King Herod, they immediately left, and in obedience to that word, notice I'm emphasizing obedience to the word of the Lord, the King of Kings. Oh, it's important that we are obedient to this word and walk in the light of this word. In obedience to that word, those wise men began their journey from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. And in so doing, what happens? There is the star. There's the same star we saw way out there in the east. They recognize it to be the very same star. And they followed the light of that star into Bethlehem. Bethlehem had a lot of homes in it. How do we know what home to find Jesus in? Now keep in mind, this was 2 years after the birth of Jesus. It was a long, difficult journey for the wise men. The wise men journeyed approximately 1,500 miles. It was a hard, difficult, cold journey to find Jesus. But isn't it that way even today, when we have to leave all, forsake all, to seek after this Bethlehem child? We have to deny ourselves, take up our cross. The old man is being crucified with all of its wants, with all of its desires. We can't do what this old man would want to do. The journey is rough. The journey is hard. It's a struggle. But we can't give up. There's something inside that keeps driving us, that is God calling and inviting us to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told how the star that they were following, it stopped. It reflected its light upon the house. They went into that house, we're told here, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. Isn't it amazing, beloved? As I pointed out, in Bethlehem there was a lot of houses. What house is Jesus in? How do we know where to find him? They didn't know where to find him, but the star, the light of that star, led them to the very, very place where Jesus was. Oh, it's that way in our day, beloved. I have had numberless people come to me and say, every church, every denomination tells us, come and worship with us. We are the right church. Don't go over there. Don't go worship over there. That's the wrong church. They teach this and they teach that. That's the wrong church. Don't go there. How do we know where to find Jesus? How do we know what the right church is? Man doesn't know what the right church is. With his own intellect, with his own wisdom, he will never, ever come to know what the true living church is. We don't have the ability. Well, then how do we find it? Follow the light of the star. That star, we heard, are the messengers of God. Don't follow that messenger, but the word that he proclaims, that's the light of the star. That's the light of heaven. That word that he proclaims, follow that light. And that light is going to lead you where Jesus is. And unto you is going to be granted the revelation of Jesus. Think of it with me. These wise men walk into this house. They see this little child, 2 years old. 2 years had passed. They see this little child with his mother. And they fall down and they worship this child. This little child, they fall down and worship. It doesn't even hardly make sense, does it? Here are full-grown men falling down on their knees to worship this little child. God had revealed to them His Son Jesus. This is the King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords. This is the light that we have been following. And here He is before our eyes. They fell down and worshipped Him. And notice, when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto Him gifts. What kind of gifts did they present unto Jesus? Gifts of gold, gifts of frankincense, and gifts of myrrh. What does that tell us? It tells us this, that they acknowledged Jesus as the King of Kings. They acknowledged Jesus as their King. He's the King of our life. They also acknowledged Him as the High Priest. He is our High Priest. They also acknowledged Him as the sacrifice lamb that has taken away our sins. Now you might say, how do you come up with that? They crowned Him with gold. Kings are crowned with gold. That gold that they brought unto Him depicts kingship. And Jesus has to be our King, beloved. He's not only our Savior, but He's our King. He has come to rule over His people, Israel. We are the children of Israel, spiritually speaking. Our lives are not our own. He rules us. He's our King. We crown Him with gold. We honor Him as King. That frankincense that they presented unto Him, the high priest would always burn this frankincense, this incense, in the temple, which depicts that now we have a high priest, a true high priest that understands and knows all things. And Jesus is our high priest. That myrrh that they presented unto Him was that costly ointment that they used to anoint His body at His burial, acknowledging that He is the sacrifice lamb that has taken away our sins. And I believe that so it is with you and I. When we have been granted the revelation of Jesus, we honor Him as King, as High Priest, and as the sacrifice lamb that has taken away our sins. Our lives through Jesus have been changed. We go on our way, not the same path that we came on. Notice these wise men, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Those that have visited Jesus walk in a newness of life. They don't walk in their old pathways of sin and darkness, but in a newness of life. All that are in Christ have become new creatures. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. No, beloved, we no longer walk in those old pathways of sin. We walk a new path in the footsteps of our Redeemer. And those footsteps will take us home to heaven one day. Thanks be unto God for this wonderful gift. Thanks be unto God that it wasn't only that Jesus was born into this world, and that we have had that knowledge of the birth of Jesus, but He has been so merciful to us. Through the light of His star, we have been led to this Bethlehem to behold the Lamb of God that taketh away even my sins. Unto us has been granted the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this is what Christmas is all about, beloved. We have reason to praise and thank Him for His loving kindness, His goodness, and His mercy, which endureth forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.